Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what were the mysterious messages and dates found on a series of bricks?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you enjoy the program and would like to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories, and get access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the archive. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, kids, quite literally. Thousands upon thousands of shows means thousands upon thousands of hours. I think that if we calculated it would be like several months you would need to listen nonstop 24/7 if you're going to get through all of it. So you get all that when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And if you call right now, or if you sign up right now, actually anytime, you'll get the book, the ebook version of our book, and the audiobook as well. Those are $15 a pop if you buy it on Amazon or Audible, but those are included in the membership. So I'll keep us on the air. It's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. And I thought I was going to have to do today's episode shirtless.
Oh, well, Tony.
Yes.
Like, the thing is, we wouldn't know.
Exactly.
You could say, I'm shirtless. I could tell you right now, I'm doing this totally naked.
I could say it, couldn't I? And no one would be the wiser, but I'm not. And I'm kind of happy about that because I got sunburned yesterday. Bad.
Oh, Tony. Yeah. There's this new product. What is it called?
Sunscreen. Yes. And I used it. Here's the thing. When I put it on, I had my t-shirt on still, and I put it on my arms and legs and my face and my head and my neck and all that. And then here's something. This is where it gets complicated. I rarely, it's not complicated at all, but I rarely ever am like sitting somewhere with my shirt off. I'm not a shirtless, comfortable guy. I don't do that. But we were sitting at a pool yesterday, and this is, we're recording right around Father's Day time. So Father's Day, we went to the pool, and I was like, hey, it's nice. And you know, I'm just going to take my shirt off and sit here by the pool. And I failed to remember, oh, I should sunscreen everything that's normally underneath my shirt as well. And the hair did not protect me from the sun as much as I would think it would have. It did not. And I got cooked, and I have not been this sunburned, I think, since I like went to the beach when I was a kid.
And I think if, like, say one time you was to get a little skin cancer on your lip and have to have reconstructive surgery done,
yeah,
maybe you would remember.
I would think I would. Yeah, I should. I know, because there's someone that I know very close to
I'm
me.
I'm like
that,
your best friend.
I know.
If I'm not your best friend, I'm one of them.
Oh, I know. It's just like I like I said.
That happened to me.
Totally just because I already, I did do it. I can't say I didn't put sunscreen on. I did. I just didn't do it correctly. I failed to do part two of the sunscreen. And so it's mainly like my shoulders and neck that got the worst of it. But
I was on a cruise and we were in Honduras. And so on a cruise ship, before I even leave my room in the morning, I'd put sunscreen on everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I did really good because I knew it was going to be really hot. Yeah. People had warned me that you could really sunburn easily and badly there. Mm-hmm. But so I ran up the back of my legs, but didn't get all the way up the very back of my thighs.
Yeah.
And I was wearing a bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
And we rented a cabana.
Mm-hmm.
And because my friend wanted a cabana boy, just to say that she had one.
Uh-huh.
And so we did. It was super fun. But I was out in the water and I knew I had sunscreen on, but I was like, I'm feeling like I'm burning. Like the sun was so hot. So then I ended up getting that burn. Like it was just like red, like an apple.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah.
Nowhere else. I did a really great job. But like, if I had to go to the bathroom, it was really painful.
I last night in bed, I was just kind of laying there and I had no covers on me. I was like laying under my fan. I put aloe on and the lidocaine stuff. It's kind of, my arms look like I could possibly be playing a very early walker in The Walking Dead. I got pretty toasted.
You're gonna peel.
I'm beginning to. So I didn't even want to go there, but it has begun. I'm starting to make the transition into a zombie. So there you go. Wear sunscreen, kids.
At least when you turn zombie, you're like a long ways away from where I live. And
true. Yeah.
I won't feel threatened.
Everyone's free to wear sunscreen. Boz Luhrmann. Top 40 hits.
I hope you remember.
2000, 1999, I think. So that I will remember next time. I definitely will. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First letter today says, I've been listening to your podcast for almost 2 years. Started listening when I had my second child. Finally got the courage to share a few stories that have really stuck with me. I'm 24 now. My first story I'm about to tell was around 9 to 10 years old. We had moved to St. Thomas, Ontario from London, Ontario, when I was 8 into my mom's coworker's house. We bought it from her. It was a nice house. I remember that my parents were starting to renovate the house. First thing I remember is being in the backyard with my dad. He was digging out the top layer of the grass by the back door so we could do a stone pathway to the back patio. We ended up discovering bricks engraved with names in them with what looked like a birth year and death year. Did not really know the history of the property other than it used to be an orchard of fruits. I think that was where things really started to escalate, but not drastically. Prior to my dad starting the reno on the basement, I remember coming home one day with my little sister. The usual is for us to get home, let the dog out, grab snacks, watch TV, etc. I can remember I was sitting in the living room. I didn't want anything to eat yet. Anyway, I'm sitting there and in front of the house was set up. So you walk in the front door, living room is to your immediate left. Stairs go up to the second level. We're straight ahead to the left. And then the hallway to the kitchen was adjacent to the stairs. So I get my things off. I get settled and I'm watching the family channel. Emperor's New Groove was LOL. My little sister was ended up going to the kitchen out of nowhere. I see my little sister sitting on the fourth step of the stairs to go up, just staring at me, looking upset, but also kind of mad. So I look over and say, Ashton, what's wrong? No answer. I ask again, Ashton, what's wrong? That's when she got up and ran up the stairs. So up the stairs is exceedingly small. Nowhere really to go. The computer desk was right there when you went up to the landing. To the left was a washroom. She was not there. My parents' room was next. She was not hiding anywhere in there. Her and my room was next, and she was not hiding in there. Then my older sister's room was next, and she was not hiding in there either. So I'm a little confused by now. I go back downstairs, and I'm calling out for my sister, and she finally responds. Asked her where she's been that I've been looking for. Asked her how she was down here when she was just running upstairs. There was no way she could have gotten past me. That's when she said she was never sitting on the stairs. She never went upstairs. That simply was not her. And she said that she had always been in the kitchen making toast. I was just weirded out when that happened. Sorry for the long story. The next one at the same house, my dad was doing a reno in the basement. He had to use our space heater that we had in our room down in the basement. So I remember going to see my dad down there to see how things were going. By 11, or rather it was 11 by then, I think. Anyway, at the bottom of the stairs, my dad was there measuring out things. And the left of the basement window is a decent sized ledge to put the heater on. I go back up to the kitchen and make something, then I go back down and ask about having a space heater. That's when my dad said he was minding his own business on the far side of the basement, and he heard a man's voice in his ear. He said he could not make what it was saying. My dad said, whatever you are, you need to go. That's when the space heater flew off the ledge that it was on and smashed on the ground. That's just something my dad experienced and told me about. I was not there to experience that. I'll tell you one more. My parents ended up splitting after my 14th birthday, so my mom ended up getting a townhouse. My two sisters and I ended up moving there with her. We saw my dad every other weekend. There came a point where it was not healthy for me to live with my mom, so my dad had an apartment that was in the original set of Thomas. I wanted to stay and was built in the 1800s. This part of Set Thomas was in the courthouse area, had a lot of historic homes there. It turned it into two apartments. My dad lived upstairs. I moved in with him. I can remember one morning particularly. My dad usually leaves me $5 for lunch if he can before work. He leaves early, so I was left to get ready alone. I don't know if it was because I was half asleep or what was going on. I heard my dad leave, and I ended up sleeping in. I was late for school. Woke up, did not realize what time it was, but I turned around, and my door to my room is open. That's when this six-foot figure came into view. I can make out that he was wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt. Ended up falling asleep again. I think 10 minutes went by, and I woke up again. This figure was at the side of my bed, staring down at me, watching me sleep. I fell asleep again, thinking it was my dad. I woke up for good. The person was not there. I marked it up to my dad leaving me my lunch money. I texted my dad to ask if he was in my room this morning, and he said he was not. I told him what had happened, and he said that the same thing has happened to him. There's more coincidences with that figure, but I'll have to cut this off for now and write in again. I listen to your podcast on my way to work. I'm a personal support worker, so it helps keep the travel between patients amusing. Keep up the good work. That would be interesting. Almost doppelganger-like type experiences there.
And like did she have experiences with each place she lived? Because it kind of sounds like that.
It was, yes.
So is it like her or her family that's attracting that? Or do they just happen to rent haunted places?
Or are they sensitive, or just certain members of the family sensitive? Yeah, I don't know. I would like to know more about the story of the bricks, where they have birth and death dates on them. I mean, I've seen brick things before where it's like, you know, so-and-so, you know, gets their name on a brick because they did something, you know, but birth and death is kind of more memorialization.
Right. It kind of made me think that maybe like a children's home or, some place that, you know, where there was a plague or there was all these people who died of this. Uh-huh. And so they built a, you know how like sometimes all I can think of now is at Wrigley Field, but because there's a lot of like, my dad loved the Cubs sort of bricks.
Sure.
But that's what it kind of reminds me of. You can write on these bricks and you create a path with them. And so you could do like a remembrance path. That's kind of what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
That something you would do. But in that case, it makes me think something horrific happened. Mm-hmm. You know, the Cubs, it's just, hey, Wrigley Field, I want my dad's name on it.
I know.
My dad loved the Cubs. That would be cool. But yeah, that just would be, that's creepy. And then to see a child.
Not recently, but this is probably, I don't know, 8-9 years ago. Was at a antique store in Wisconsin, and in a glass case up front were bricks, or they were bigger than bricks. They were like stone markers, and they had just initials and some death dates on them. They were slave gravestones.
Really?
And I don't know why they were in a fucking antique store. I mean, even if you come across it or something, why are you putting this in an antique store? I mean, ideally, put it back where you found it or where somebody found it. Figure out where they go if you can. I mean, and if you can't, don't put them in the glass case at the antique store.
But that makes me think that somebody's buying them.
They were for sale.
Why would you want that in your home?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, why would you collect that? That's not something to collect. I mean, that somebody, those are somebody's markers that somebody took, and somehow they ended up in a Wisconsin antique store of all places.
that's sad in so many ways.
Yeah.
Like, it just really bothers me.
I know.
Because, you know, this was a tragic life.
Yeah.
You know, this person, however they died, you know, did not have an easy life.
And there it is right next to
it was a lot of suffering. And it's like, I want to take that home. That is great. I know exactly where I'll put it in my house.
I know.
How could you be like that?
I mean, the only thing, you know, you can, if you're trying to muster up ideas, it's like somebody took them. We didn't know what the hell they were. They got, you know, they sat in somebody's attic forever. Some kids cleaned it out and they found these things. Didn't really know what they were either then. And that maybe that's the innocent story. I don't know. Maybe there's a much more nefarious one where somebody knew what they were doing. I couldn't tell you, but how I've never seen that in an antique store. It was just like, you know what those are, right? And they did. I'm like, okay, you're okay with that? Yeah. Like, yeah, okay.
Great. Yeah, I'll make money off of this.
I don't think I'm going to come back to this one anymore.
I mean, I get it. I get them being in a museum.
Maybe. I get that.
This in context and yeah. As history, I think it would really be upsetting to...
Any place where you're going to try and make a profit off of it, like other than museum admission, like for wholesale at an antique store, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to buy these, all these old Life magazines, this antique cigar case and the slave gravestones. Would you like us to save those at the counter for you while you browse a little bit more, sir? Yes, please do. Is there any body parts of anyone, any skulls around here I can buy? Maybe some babies in jars. It's like, yes, aisle 8. Yes. It's over in the Ed Gein booth. The Gein family has that right over there.
Oh.
The thing is, this was about 60, 70 miles from Plainfield, where Ed Gein.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was right. It was on that truck. We kept going. You would hit Plainfield if you jumped on the highway off of this town. And well, yeah, it really wouldn't be that far, about 60 miles north. I don't want to say the name of the town because I could be wrong on it. But yeah. The things you find at antique stores.
It does make me think that whatever those bricks were, it was something maybe not as horrific as that.
Maybe.
But it makes me think that they're commemorative bricks for a reason altogether.
I do too. I just wonder what it was.
Yeah.
855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony, Carol, Todd, Harper. This is Andrea. I'm a first-time caller. I've written a few times, but mostly about my dog, Biscuit. But I wanted to tell you a story about something that happened to me in college. I would probably call it my first experience that I ever remember having, for sure. So I went to Fort Hays State University when I went to college, and I lived in a studio apartment. And when I moved in, weird things started happening. My alarm clock, which I had across the room, so I would have to get up to turn it off. The alarm would go off whenever I wouldn't have it set. I'd be trying to sleep in because I the night before, and the alarm would go off around 7 in the morning, and I finally got tired of it doing that, so I just turned the clock off completely, and it stopped for a few days, and the next time it happened, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what the hell is going on? So I unplugged it from the wall so that I wouldn't know if nothing could short out or anything. that was probably causing it. Another thing that happened when I lived in this apartment was I started developing insomnia. I could not sleep at night to save my life. No matter what I tried, melatonin, playing music, watching TV, reading to make myself fall asleep, even making myself stay up all day and not taking a nap, I still could not sleep. And it got to the point where the only time I could sleep was during the day. So I would just take quick naps during the day and then maybe get a few hours sleep at night after being up for a long time. And one morning, I was laying in bed sleeping for once, and I woke up because I could hear my alarm going off, the alarm clock that I had unplugged. And I was laying in bed and I was trying to get up, but I couldn't move. And everything felt kind of hazy. Like I couldn't open my eyes very well. And I finally was able to move my head, and I looked towards the alarm clock, and I see a figure standing in the corner there. I got the sense that she was female. There was long hair and a white dress. It made me think of a wedding dress. And finally, I was able to come out of the sleep paralysis, I guess is what you would call it. And the figure was gone, but my alarm clock was still going off. And I got up and I threw it in the trash and took the trash out. And after that, I started staying with my boyfriend most of the time. And as soon as I got out of the apartment and started staying with him, the insomnia cleared. I could go back to sleep and everything felt normal. But that's my story. Thanks for listening, and I really, really love your show. It's made me feel like I'm not crazy, and things that feelings and stuff that I have had all my life, I realize are not normal. And I'm just glad I'm not alone. Thanks and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for sharing your experiences with us. Thoughts?
First off, she said she was going to Fort Hays State University, which makes me think that's in Hays, Kansas, because they have a Fort Hays State University, and that is where I graduated from high school.
Well, there you go.
In Hays, Kansas. Maybe not. Maybe there's another Fort Hays State University.
I don't know.
But yeah, I lived in that town, I think. But I think that's so weird. It's almost like the alarm clock was going off to get her attention. Mm-hmm. And they were, and I think that sometimes, because she said that the time that she saw the person, she was actually having some sleep paralysis sort of thing. So she was actually asleep.
Yeah.
Maybe that was with her having insomnia. She was never open to actually seeing it because she could never get into a relaxed state. So I wonder if whatever it was had been trying to get her attention.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's why? I don't know. But the alarm clock shouldn't have been going off.
Yeah.
You know, so why was it? But I'd have done the same. I think I'd have thrown it away sooner. But, you know, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think anything that's going to keep doing that sort of thing over and over, I'd be starting to question after a short period of time, like, is there something else going on here with it? You know, you can go for a little while, like, oh, it's malfunctioning. Maybe I got the wrong button. But at some point, you got to be like, what the hell? You know, what is this? I mean, where it just kind of eventually goes beyond that.
Yeah, 'cause it makes no sense.
Exactly.
And it's not defective necessarily. It's like, obviously, I have a defective one. It even goes off when it's not plugged in.
Yeah.
But it's so weird to me when things like that happen, because then you see that whatever it is, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the point of trying to get my attention?
I know. Very bizarre story, but thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this caller and hear a story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. My name is Maria. I've been listening for a couple of months now, and I have so many stories and so many things just trigger so many memories, all of my adventures. I am, as of today, an EPP. And I paid for the whole year, so I'm really excited and just listening through a bunch of, you know, the extra episodes that you guys provide. And I was listening to one, and it had reminded me of something that had happened. And I've been trying to put together my story about my first apartment and the horror stories that had come with it. There was many, many entities there. I'm still putting that one together. So there's the second one where it wasn't in my first apartment. It was actually, like, we used to, as teenagers, my friends and I, we used to go and, like, play ghost hunters and, like, try and do our own things. And I went out to what is now Legoland in New York. Legoland is haunted. Just going to say that. Before Legoland in New York was built, they had taken down an abandoned house. This abandoned house had been owned by a serial killer in my area who had killed a bunch of, like, women and put their bodies around his property. And which is, like, you know, the grounds of Legoland right now. And so we went to explore that. And we had our little flip phones with our little flashlights and the voice memo going, trying to catch EVPs. And, like, the back then, the phone cameras were not very great. So, like, we didn't record anything on video. But, you know, we snapped off some pictures. So we went to the serial killer's abandoned house. He's still alive. He's in jail. And we were just walking around. And so to get to the house, it was all boarded up and stuff. And there was, like, a small little opening. It was super creepy. The grass is all overgrown. The house is, like, this old farmhouse. It was really late at night. It was really dark. And, like, a little 16-year-old girls and boys were, like, gossiping and getting all excited and amping ourselves up. And we're like, oh, my God, it's so scary. Oh, my God, should we go in there? Oh, this is so creepy, right? And we go in and, like, we do our exploring. And, like, we really didn't see anything or hear anything in the moment. It wasn't until we drove home and reviewed all of our little recordings and on my friend's cell phone, you know, in the very beginning, we were sitting there, oh, should we go in? This is so scary, you know? And there was a woman's voice, that, like, blood-curdling scream saying no. And none of us heard it, like, on this recording. Nobody heard it. We were all just carrying on as if, you know, nothing else had happened. And it was just, you know, we had that blood-curdling scream. No, that was the only thing that had happened that we had found at, you know, the farmhouse that is now Legoland, New York. That's it for this story. I hope that it gets aired. This is, like, really exciting. I have so much more. Like I said, I have to just organize my thoughts. This one was just, like, a random, like, remembering. So, thank you. And I hope to hear this story come up. And I would love to hear your guys' opinions on that blood-curdling scream. No. I think that maybe it was, you know, one of the victims, possibly, saying, don't go in there. He's going to get you. Thank you for all of your content. Can't wait to hear the next episode. Bye.
This summer, take your family on an adventure of a lifetime. Take them to Legoland, home of the serial killer who put bodies of women around the property. Again, if you missed that shit, it happened right here at Legoland, where you're about to have a fun day with your family. Seriously, great place for a theme park, right? Try the corn dogs. Legoland.
I thought you were going to say, have a fun time with your family and some extra people. You don't know who's going to show up at Legoland.
Bonus points if you or your family can find a femur in Legoland. It's Femur Fridays at Legoland, where if you're running around the theme park and your kids are digging in the dirt, don't stop them. Because if they find a femur and bring it to the nearest cotton candy kiosk, they'll get a free Batman Lego figurine in exchange for that femur. That's right, it's Femur Fridays only at Legoland.
Things I thought I'd never hear in my life. It's Femur Fridays. Usually it's ladies drink free, but no.
Femur Fridays.
Femur Friday. Oh, that poor woman. She's like, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this story. It's Femur Friday at Legoland.
I can imagine somebody
kind of
spit
feel
their
like
coffee.
I'm apologizing for you,
nah.
For her, but I'm like, that was funny shit. I'm no, sorry.
There's plenty of people who did spit takes or something while they were hearing that. So there's a couple of windshields that got wet with Diet RC Cola. But I'm glad.
Did anybody drink that?
I don't know.
I hope not.
I just like
it. It tastes like shit.
I never understood RC. It was like, why?
What is
the point of this? Yeah.
My mother tasted it or drank it. And I was like, I can't even taste it.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I just think that's so interesting. Like kids, like if at this point in my life, if somebody said, well, let's go find the serial murderer's house.
Yeah.
And like, we'll turn on our phones. We'll try to record something. I'd be like, hell no.
Oh, I'd be all about
but
it.
But if I was 16, I'd have done it.
Yeah.
Because the other kids are doing it. I don't want to be the one who's like, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm like, I'm cool. I'll go to the serial murderer's house where he buried people. And I just think it's crazy that they would get that on a recording. Like somebody screaming no. I wonder if they still have the recording.
That would be interesting to hear.
I don't want to hear it, but I kind of want to hear it.
In my epic quest to always find the remnants of old creepy things, I learned recently that Legoland in Orlando is on the grounds of the old Cypress Gardens, which I was unaware of. I went to Cypress Gardens as a kid.
I did too.
And it's gone now, but there are elements of it that they did preserve in Legoland, like some of the garden areas and things you can still go and walk around, and they call it like Cypress Gardens in Legoland. It's just kind of like little segments here and there. But it's like, well, it's better to hear than it, you know, some of these places that are just, you know, rotting away in the sun, because there's many of them that's what happened to them.
I think it's weird though with that Legoland. It's like, we want to build Legoland.
Yeah.
We can't really, you know, it's New York. There's no abandoned properties anywhere.
Yeah.
In desirable neighborhoods. So let's just take the serial murderer's house where he buried people And we'll build it there.
They could make a whole themed set on that, though. You know, like Legoland serial killer.
The guy who does those TV shows on Fox. It's like the whole series. Ryan Murphy.
Okay.
Ryan Murphy. Because he's done like Asylum and all of those different kind of creepy shows. It sounds like something he would do.
I think it'd be great. Like Lego's been coming out in the last handful of years with like very interesting and like almost adult targeted sets where it's like build the Parthenon or, you know, build the Empire State Building. I think they should make a themed serial killer set of Legos where it's like it's the Ed Gein Lego set. It's the Jeffrey Dahmer Lego set. And you build like the Dahmer apartment. And then you have like all like the, you know, Lego body parts come apart pretty easily. So you could really
Steamer Friday.
You could really make that thing up. I mean, like what do your kids want for Christmas?
The Jeffrey Dahmer. It would complete my set, Dad.
And then still, no matter what, you go to the Lego aisle, you're like, all right, the Jeffrey Dahmer Lego set. This can't be that expensive. Holy shit. They want how much for this? It's not even that big. Come on. I mean, they got to cover more than this one, like, murder case in this set. If you want the expanded one that expands to, like, all, like, 20-some victims, like, that's the upgrade, and that's the one that's, like, $142.
Then you just keep adding.
Collect all four.
See, shit got twisted really fast there.
Surprisingly, they never made it, like, into a Happy Meal theme either. It's like, you know, here's, like, the serial killer. It's like it's Discovery Plus week, like Discovery Plus themed Happy Meals. And it's little like serial killer action figures.
Oh, my God. I could totally see that. And the money goes to some victims fund.
Harper would totally be like every day. Can we get some chicken nuggets? Can we get a cheeseburger? And I'd probably be like, fuck yeah, we're going to collect all six. Honey. We're going to collect all six.
You'd be like, honey, we are going to McDonald's for lunch again today.
Every day.
That's what we do every day.
We need like seven Happy Meals today just to collect everything. I want the themed cups as well. The little glass ones that have, it's not the Smurfs on anymore. It's like, oh, wow, that's a really interesting sketched rendition of Dahmer with golden arches behind it.
We already have that one.
Damn it.
We want the elusive one that everybody's after.
What, the Richard Ramirez cup
on eBay for a lot of money.
The Night Stalker cup they have this week only at McDonald's.
We went off track a little bit.
Feeling adventurous? This week McDonald's is featuring the Richard Ramirez Night Stalker Happy Meal cup. That's right, get into McDonald's late night this week and fill it up with Coca-Cola. The Richard Ramirez collectible cup. See Richard in one of seven poses. Collect all seven this week, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
That was funny.
Like, I can just, that's one of my hidden talents. I can just break into promos like that, and it sounds
real. You're really, really good at that.
It helps that I actually do those things for a living as well, but it's more fun when you can just make up fake shit on the air and just go off with it. God, that's funny. All right, well, there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to call up your local McDonald's and ask him when they're going to bring the Richard Ramirez cup in. I'd love to hear how that call goes. And keep us abreast of that, because we'll collect all four as well. Keep our program on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.